Fast times for the Housing and Urban Development Department. Secretary Julian Castro has established priorities for both internal operations and policy. Much of the execution falls to the new deputy secretary. Nani Colaretti was confirmed last month. She joined the Obama administration in the Treasury Department in 2009. Here she talks with Tom about her new post and her agenda.
I worked for 10 years in the city and county of San Francisco before coming to Washington. So the cities in particular, in San Francisco in particular, we were doing some projects with HUD on the ground. So so I have an affinity and a familiarity with the content matter. And then, you know, having spent 5 years at Treasury, also had a knowledge on how to get things done in the federal government. And I think that that was appealing to the administration.
I mean, at the city municipal level, almost everything they do, the sum and substance of which has to do with housing in many ways.
Absolutely. And particularly in a high cost, high need area like San Francisco and then the Bay Area in general, there's sort of public housing and also affordable housing that we were working on with HUD.
And with so many other federal agencies, there are big pressing issues. You know, VA came through what it's come through and is rebuilding and so on. And Treasury has lots of new responsibilities. And HUD, I'm not getting a clear picture of what is really the pressing issues there. So having come in there now as the deputy secretary, what are the priorities?
So I'm lucky to be working with a secretary that came in about 4 or 5 months before I did and really did look through all of the priorities. HUD actually has been working on a number of things, some that you may have even heard of, such as ending veterans homelessness, which was has been and continues to be a big push of this administration through the work of HUD and Veterans Affairs. But the Secretary Julian Castro really distilled down the vision and the goals into sort of six areas. And many of them we had already been working on before here at HUD, but really to try to explain to people what is it that we're doing here, what are our main goals. And I can go through them if you want, kind of talk through them if that's helpful.
Sure. Let's start with number one.
So number one is an area where I'm going to be focusing a lot of my time. And what we call it is build a stronger HUD. And what that really means, Tom, is, you know, finding ways to sort of measure outcomes and get our work done, and particularly because we know we're facing a tight budget environment, but really trying to understand how things are working and where we're headed, how to make them better. Second element of build a stronger HUD is about transparency, and that's both internally and externally, and that's to help folks understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and have a better clear line of sight of their work to the actual programmatic goals.
So that would seem to take you right in line with the data.gov,
the
Data Act and data.gov and the whole idea of measuring. You need to have the figures in order to get the metrics.
That's right. And really, you know, touches at some of the elements of the GPRA Modernization Act that we've talked about before here, and I know you all focus on, which is really what are you trying to do and how do you measure and how do you tell folks about how you're hitting those markers or not hitting them. So there is already a very robust quarterly review process here. They call it STAT process. So I'm heading up the operational side of that and helping inform the programmatic side of it also. And that's
okay.
A good way to do outcomes transparency and accountability, which is really about building a stronger HUD.
All right. So number two.
So helping families secure quality housing. And this is really about both rental affordability and also opportunities to own a home. And so the secretary the prior secretary has been doing a lot of work on that. The current secretary is also doing a lot of work on that. And that has to do with improving access to credit and affordable rental housing options.
And so that's something you need to encourage really from the private sector, right? Or you can have grants for that.
Yeah, no. So HUD does. HUD is active in this marketplace because they both work on the ground with certain kinds of subsidized housing, but also is an insurer of housing. So, and then finally, we work with over 4,000 housing authorities across the country. So we're sort of working in all levels of the marketplace. And you're right, it is really a partnership with both communities and the marketplace to try to figure out what's possible here. And I have had experience on this really on the ground in San Francisco, where there's sort of an all-level approach, kind of all of the above.
I mean, in the real urban areas, it's getting to the point where there's nothing but almost the worst kind of housing, and you know, $2,000 a month for a you know an efficiency, nothing in between.
Yeah, so there's a supply issue, and then there's an affordability issue, and HUD is very active in both those areas.
Okay, so let's number three.
Ending homelessness.
And you have a personal stake in that. You actually go out and hoof it in that whole area yourself personally.
Yeah, so there's a point in time count happening next week across the country on different days. Here in D.C., I believe it's a Wednesday. And so I'll be a little team, and I will go and do the point in time count. The point in time count is very important, and really anyone who can should volunteer for it. It is once a year data gathered during a particular time period to really count the number of people. And we're talking about, you know, not just veterans and single people, but families on the street. And it's always done in the winter time, so you really want to figure out what the severity is of that. And so it's helpful for to get more hands on deck. And I did this in San Francisco, and it's really eye-opening. So I'll be helping do the point in time count. We use that data, all kinds of agencies and localities use that data for lots of different reasons. It's really important data.
We're speaking with Nani Colaretti. She is recently confirmed as Deputy Secretary of HUD. And just on that count, how do you get to the people that are in rural and suburban areas? Because all the homeless are not necessarily concentrated in the inner urban districts.
Yeah, so you really have to have teams of volunteers. They're sort of each local community has a sort of, I think it's called a continuum of care or continuum, a group that basically splits you up into regional areas. And so if you're doing a rural area or if you're doing an area that's like not completely concentrated, you might be in a car driving around and then stopping and looking.
Okay. So, so that ties into affordable housing too. So there's an architecture here developing. And what are the other priorities?
The fourth one is to strengthen communities in this century of cities. And what that really means is looking at ways to empower local communities and get them to work together with the federal government. So we have a number of efforts that we're calling place-based efforts. One of them, last week I got to go to St. Louis, Missouri. We were announcing a Choice Neighborhood Grant. This is a grant that's coming through our public and Indian housing program, but it really is a planning grant. And so I got to see what it looks like for HUD to be working with communities and with different federal agencies to kind of do more comprehensive planning efforts. And then those plans actually lead to ultimately buildings and sort of revitalization.
But so, what about the states? Don't they need to be in between all of that?
The state can be helpful in rebuilding and in planning and development efforts. But a lot of these efforts, Tom, are locally driven. If you think about local planning efforts that really led to revitalization in D.C., D.C. is special, of course, but really, even in you and I were just talking about Montgomery County, I mean, a lot of those efforts to rebuild the different areas are locally driven.
Okay, so the government then would be helping with financing options and also planning skills or best practices and what new urban design looks like?
Absolutely, and also just coordinating. So there's an area, for example, in St. Louis, Missouri, that has an environmental issue. We have EPA on the ground there, and we coordinate directly with them. We have a HUD staffer, we have an EPA staffer, and we're really kind of working with the city directly on a whole host of issues that pop up when you're trying to revitalize an area, whether they're environmental, transportation. Their Department of Justice is very involved in this effort, and HUD is a big major coordinator to try to change the way we interact with localities on the ground.
All right, so that takes us through the fourth priority, and we've got two more to go.
Yeah, so the next one area is called leveling the playing field for all Americans, and this really has to do with our work to affirmatively further fair housing. One of the many laws that we implement here at HUD is the Fair Housing Act, and we are actively working to sort of better clarify and help both communities and our own programs where we grant out money as a federal government, make those align with the goals of the Fair Housing Act.
But I think the idea of disparate impact, that theory, isn't that something that HUD runs into trouble with a lot of local authorities because the idea that, you know, that a disparate outcome is prima facie evidence of discrimination, I think, is still pretty contentious.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's being taken up by the courts currently, and I can't speak to, you know, where things will land on that particular issue, but I do know that one thing that's helpful in the area of fair housing is to just be more clear as to, you know, so for example, if you get community development block grant funds as a community, and many do across this country, you are required to do a comprehensive plan. We are now asking communities that get those sorts of dollars to do a plan that addresses fair housing issues. And I think that that's going to be helpful so that folks aren't sort of trying to figure it out on their own what it means to really abide by the Fair Housing Act.
Okay, so how's that been going so far with local areas? Have you had good reception, or has it been a mix?
You know, we've had great reception, and we've also had a lot of, we've been putting these things out for comment, notice and comment. So we've also gotten really helpful comments to allow us to better integrate how we're creating actually a template that folks can fill in. So we're basically going back to the comments that we got to help inform how we then put this template together. So there's a really wonderful thing about the way the federal government does notice and comment that allows us to really kind of look for every kind of comment, categorize them, and figure out how to address them. So we're doing that work right now, and it's really important work we'll be working on over the course of the next year.
Okay, and then number six.
So number six will sound familiar to you, addressing climate change and natural disasters. One of the things that happens when there is a natural disaster is HUD gets called on to help and oftentimes gets another appropriation. So we are working through the Hurricane Sandy appropriation, and some of that is, you know, granting to local communities to help them figure out what to do around housing issues. But some of it is also about creating better preparedness and resiliency. So we have a group at HUD that works on that, and in partnership with a lot of other sort of federal agencies and localities. And that is one of our main goals in terms of trying to bolster our effort with communities, really address climate change and natural disasters.
I know the Commerce Department through NIST is working on something they've been doing for a while now, updating building standards and looking into how standards can be improved locally to be more resilient, you know, just in the face of storms and tornadoes and so forth. So does that figure into what you're doing?
Absolutely. We're on a working group with Commerce and other agents, federal agencies, to implement and sort of help support that effort. And that's really important, critical work that, you know, it's so fantastic that Commerce is doing, because what you were saying earlier in the show, earlier in our conversation, which is basically how do we bring best practices to communities? That's the kind of effort that's going to do that, which is here are an array of things that can make you better prepared for disaster. And coming from San Francisco, that is really where to start, just your building codes.
And I guess in the long term, this would all benefit the insurance industry, because maybe they'd have less to pay out because there'd be less destruction from what now results in lots of downed houses.
I think we all know that, you know, as we see different, and we saw this in the Bay Area after a large earthquake, as you see a natural disaster come to communities, I think people start to really understand that this kind of work is really important for everyone to sort of make ourselves ready for the future.
All right. And just to get back to number one, which is enabling a better operating HUD.
Yeah.
Are you looking also at procurement and the whole, you said transparency, too, so that's a digital government type of operation within HUD. Is that all going to happen?
Everything's going to happen. you know, I only have 2 years. But, Tom, what I'm spending my first sort of 60, 90 days doing is really a deep dive on all operational areas of HUD and also all programmatic areas. And what I'm looking for are ways to both quickly and in order to the long term bolster the operational functioning of HUD. So that is really what you mentioned, procurement, digital effort, and but really also, quite frankly, foundational IT and infrastructure, which we were dealing with at Treasury and we're dealing with here at HUD.
Did you have a Windows 95 computer when you moved in? Or?
No, actually, let me just say, HUD is actually pretty advanced in technology in terms of what they offer folks. They are more updated than other federal agencies. They've definitely been leaning forward in that area, which is fantastic, and using some of the technologies that come with Microsoft Outlook, a suite of offerings, which is really wonderful and helpful, allows us to do things like have an internal way to talk to each other that's on a platform that everyone shares. So there's a lot of assets to already build on. And that's, I think that's the loveliness of being in a more of a medium-sized agency. HUD is, you know, 8,000 employees. Treasury was upwards of 100,000. So this is actually, this can be done here. I think part of the way to really think about this and get yourself ready for the 21st century is, you know, do we have best practices in place on, you know, on governance, on provisioning and IT, and on our infrastructure and our architecture. And so we have a relatively new CIO here, and he's helping me, you know, ask and answer those questions, and that's going to be really exciting to make this stronger, stronger agency.
So you like the new job?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to, like any new job, sort of come in and be, you know, at a very high level and need to learn a lot while you're doing, but it's really, really fun.